Okay, the boy said today's daf is daf Samach Tes. We're going to quickly review the Mishnah on the bottom of Samach Ches Omid Beis. Virtually every word of the Mishnah will be explained in the Gemara in greater detail. Says the Mishnah, Moichres saw the person sold a field to someone else. Included are Mocheres Havonim Shehem Letzorcha, those stones which are in the field, which are necessary for the field. Which stones are necessary for the field? As you'll see in Mi'at Hashem shortly on the Amud Aleph, we'll have a machloikis, exactly what that means. V'yasakonim shebekerem, shehem litzarchoi. When he sold the field, if the field wasn't just your regular field, in fact it was a vineyard. So those konim, those reeds, which the kerem needs, those are sold together with the kerem automatically. What happens if when you sold the field, it was March, April time, when Baruch Hashem there's already grain growing in the field, it's also sold, even though it wasn't specified in the document, the tvuah mechuberes is sold. What's a chitzas hakonim? Konim are reeds. The chitzas hakonim, says Rishbam, means that you have a whole bunch of konim which are growing out of kelach echad, from one stalk. So this one stalk spreads out and it has a whole bunch of reeds coming out. And typically these reeds, says the Meiri, would be used as a sign where the border ends and begins on a particular field. In other words, instead of building a wall or a fence, often people would go and plant such a chitzas hakonim, and the people would know, oh, that's where the property line ends. So if it's less than a base roiva means a place in the field from which you could produce a roiva hakav, a quarter of a kav of produce, if it's less than that, it no longer has chashivus, bifnei atzmoi, it's toffled to the soda and it's sold with the soda. Similarly, if you have a shomera, shomera means a sukkah which was used by shomrim, such a guardhouse. If it's eina asuya betit, if it's so flimsy, if you will, that it's not made betit, there's no cement, no lime or whatever to keep it together. So this type of thing is considered to be so flimsy that it's so toffled to the karka. Then there are two trees which when they get older have a tremendous chashivus. One is the chorev, we call it the boxer tree, as well as the shikma, which is the sycamore tree. Those, when they grow, they are real, real exceptionally big and strong trees, which are very, very noticeable and which have a special mark on them, if you will. So that's when they get older. But when they are younger, a chorev she'enem morkev, means it's a young boxer tree, which is so young that it does not yet accept grafts on the tree. You know the word morkev from esrig ha-morkev, where they used to graft, let's say, a branch from a lemon tree onto an esrig tree to give the tree some, should be more stable and firm. This is a chorev, a boxer tree, which is so young, they're not markev it yet. When it gets older, then they're markev it to strengthen the tree. So it's young. And psula shishikma, the word psula tells you already, we're talking about a young sycamore tree. Those are both considered to be relatively insignificant, so they are sold together with the field. So until now we had a laundry list of a bunch of things because either they are so necessary for the field, or because they are considered to be loichoshuv, they are toffled to the karak and they are sold together with the soda. Avo, now we're going to have the flip side on virtually all of these. What happens if you have a bunch of stones which the property does not need? Those are not included. If you have reeds in the vineyard which are not needed. What happens if you've already cut the tvua? It's no longer standing grain. It's now lying on the property. Bizman she'omaloi hi. V'chol mashe besoicha harei kulin mechurim. So, going back to this second part of the Mishnah. Avaloi, when you sell a soda, the avarim she'en letzorcha, the kodim she'bekerem she'en letzorcha, the tvua which is already cut, harvested, and is lying on the property, these are not included if you just said, I'm selling you a soda. However, if you use the inclusive term, Bisman she'omaloi hi, v'chol mashe besoicha, the property and everything in the property, Hari Kulin Mechurin, everything is sold, meaning the Avarim She'enim Litzorcha, the Kodim She'enim Litzorchoi, the Tvua which is Telushim and Akarka, all the things of these things are included, Hari Kulin Mechurin. However, Benkach or Benkach, whether or not you just wrote Soda, or whether you wrote Soda, He V'chol Mashe B'Soicha, Loi Mochar Loi, the following four are not included, because since they are so choshev, Rashbam says it's like a soda bifnei atzma, such as lemochaloy eschitzas akonim she beis roiva, the same eschitzas akonim that we were talking about before, that you have a whole bunch of reeds coming out of one or more stalks, which are filling up a space which is greater than a roiva hakav. V'loyes hashemir sheyasuya betit. If you have such a guardhouse which is made with tit, with cement. If you have now an older carob tree, buxer tree, which is already murkav, which has already been grafted upon, that shows you its age. Or a sycamore tree which is sadden, not a psulas hashikma, a young sycamore tree, but an elderly sycamore tree. These are considered to be very, very choshuv. It's a soda bifnei atzmoi, and it's not sold together with the original soda. The Rishbam gives us an example, or tries to give us an explanation, why aren't these included? Says Rishbam, what happens if you happen to have three fields all adjacent to one another? Reuven owns three fields, 1, 2, and 3, all adjacent to one another. What happens if he sells field number 1 and field number 3, but he keeps for himself the field number 2. Even though number 2 are within the three fields, smack in the middle between 1 and 3, Avada, the second one, is not included. Even if he says, he, v'chol mashe besoicha, not included. I didn't sell you soda number 2. I sold you 1 and 3. Same thing over here. If I have a chorav hashikmor and or... the Shemeira Sheyasuya Betit, or you have a Sadna Shikma, all of us, a Chorav Amurkav, all of these are at such a Dover Choshev, it's like having a separate Soda Bifnei Atzmai within the larger fields. So you have a large field, which is a Chvais, an acre by an acre, whatever the shear happens to be, and smack in the middle you have the Sadna Shikma, so all around it, it's not sold, because of the fact that it's such so Choshev, it's like a Soda B'toich HaSoda. Okay, now, we started off the Mishnah saying, top of Samach Tes Omer Aleph. We said, if you sell the field, morchas avonim shehem litzorcha, all these stones which are needed for the field. What do you mean, what are they needed for the field for? Sigmar gives two explanations. My avonim shehem litzorcha, hochet tergimu, here they explain, and it means, avnei di achba. What are avnei di achba? Says the top Rashbam, what happens after a person cuts lemoshel grain from his field, he leaves it in the field for a few days, maybe a few weeks, to dry out. What happens if there'll be a big wind and it'll blow all of the grain away? So what he does is he has these avonim, which act like paperweights, that he puts on top of the tvua, that it shouldn't blow away. So you need those avonim, because without that, then the tvua would all blow away. So that's avonim shem letzorcha, avne di achba. Ul omer avonim hasidurois legeder. Avonim hasidurois legeder means that you are intending to go and build a geder, a fence around the field, or perhaps the avonim are already lying one on top of the other, and therefore it's kind of a very primitive, temporary type of geder. So those avonim are the type that you need for your field, because you need it for the geder, for the fence. So that's the avonim shem letzorcha. And those are included. When you sell a soda, everybody assumes that they come with these paperweight avonim, and or with the avonim asturis, the getters, so they're sold. Frank Timor, in the second shot that we said avonim asturis, the getter, Vatani Rebchir writes in the Bryce, and not hasturis, no avonim tziburis le getter. What means tziburis le getter? Tziburis means from a Loshin tzibur, tzavar, which means that they're assembled and collected for a getter. That seems to be less than siduris. Siduris would sounds like, you know, one on top of the other, mesudr in one particular area, while tziburis means, yeah, there's a whole collection of stones which are kind of haphazard, one on top of the other, you know, 100 stones here, there, and everywhere. So it sounds like you don't need siduris. Even tziburis are included. And for the Gemara, you have a good point. Today, change the Lashon HaBraisa, tziburis lavdavke, it really means siduris. So we have a machloikis bottom line. What means avonim letzarcha, avne de'achpa, these paperweights, or these stones which are being set aside for a gate, for a fence? So now the Gemara asks kashis on both pshatim, or the Gemara clarifies both pshatim. So the Gemara, hocha tirgimu. Rishbam says the Loshon hocha tirgimu is like we typically find omamar. So omamar means we're repeating again, avne de'achpa. So the Gemara, remeir de mesaknen afagav deloy machton, the Rabbanan who the Machton. What is this all about? So you'll recall we had back on Samach Hei Amid Beis where Reb Meir says in the Braisa that when you say Kerem, it doesn't only mean Kerem, it means also Kol Tashmishe Kerem. That was a Braisa right after the Mishnah, if you recall, on Samach Hei Amid Beis at the top. Leim Masisa Loi Kerem Meir, Reb Meir Ha'omar Mochras HaKerem, Mochar Tashmisha Kerem. When you sell a Kerem, automatically Tashmisha Kerem are included. While according to Rabbanan, no, when you sell a Kerem, not necessarily are Tashmisha Kerem included. And the Gemara therefore wants it. So what's pshat in that Remeir? Remeir is much more inclusive than the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan say, no, Kerem only means Kerem. Of course, unless you say, he v'chol mashe besoicha. But if you just say kerem, it's just a kerem. While Reb Meir said, no, even if you say kerem, tashmishi kerem are included. So what do I see from that? I see that from that the Reb Meir includes much more than the Rabbanim. So based on that, says the Gemara, by the Afni, the Achba, these are paperweight stones, which are there to hold down the Tvua in case there is a wind, the Reb Meir, the Mesaknan, Avagav, the Leimachtan, they would be included as long as they're mesachim. Mesachim means that they've been prepared for this purpose, to act as the weights on top of the tefuah. Avgav leimachton, even though they are not lying currently on the property. Can you imagine? You're selling a field, the stones are not on the property. They're set aside in the warehouse, in the storage bin, wherever you keep your stuff, in the shed, wherever you keep your stones. And it's not so far-fetched, because after all, throughout the year, you don't need these stones. You only need it at harvest time to hold down the tefuah that they shouldn't go and blow away. So Reb Meir says, as long as they are set aside, prepared for that purpose, even if they're not sitting on the field at this time, but rather they are three blocks away in a shed, in a storage bin, whatever, also are sold. Because he holds kerem v'chol tashmishi kerem. To the Rabbanan who are a little bit more strict in terms of what is included and what's not included when you sell a soda or a kerem, the Rabbanan who the machta, no. These avonim shehin letzorcha are only included if they are not only misaknon. They are all prepared for purposes of the avnad achba, but also machta that they are lying on the property. Chesky, you just joined us with Samach Tes Amid Aleph, 5-6 lines from the top of the Amid. Says now, Uli Ula, Brichem to you. Uli, remember, on the second line says, no, Avonim, the Tzorcha means Avonim Asturais Ligeder. Says he more the same thing. Uli Uli, Diom Avonim Asturais Ligeder. Little Meir, the Mesaknan, Afagavdali Sidra. According to Meir, as long as they are prepared for purposes of this Geder, even if they're not Mesudr one on top of the other nicely, in other words, Mesudr, you know, 5 stones on top of each other, and then you have 50 stones right and left, all nice piles, like we mentioned yesterday the day before Rabbi Yitzchak Migdalor, where the matbeis were standing one on top of the other like a tower. See, here too, the Gemara is saying, according to Meir, even if the stones are not mesuder one on top of the other like a tower, they're just lying there somewhat haphazardly, that's still sufficient. Besaknan, as long as they're prepared for that purpose, they are avonim litzarcha, and they're included in the sale. L'rabbanan, no. Who decided davke, if they're mesuder one on top of the other, where it's crystal clear that the purpose of all of these stones is to eventually make a gate out of it, or make a fence out of it. Okay, on to the next shtickle. Right to the Mishnah, it says, what else is included besides the avonim? Also, the konim shebekerem shehem litzor choy. These reeds which are in the kerem, which are needed for the kerem. Right to more konim mai viritayu. What type of reeds do we need in the kerem? What do you mean? Amid the birav yanai, konim hamuchulokim shemamidim tachas hagfanim. Now, the two pshatim in this word mechulokim. Rejbam says on the first wide line down below, mifutzolim. Shemamidim tachas hagfanim kadesh yagfanim zakufim. Mifutzolim means that they're split. In other words, you have the konim, and the purpose of these konim are to be rods upon which you put the vines of the kerem, like a trestle, to hold the vines up so that the clusters of grapes are not lying on the ground, but they're in mid-air, and therefore they'll be able to grow, and they're not going to get fulfilled. They won't rot. So mechulakim means that you have mechalikim, you have split them at the top, or they're split on their own, and now you're able to go and put easily, you know, it's like a Y shape, right? It has a long stem that you put into the ground, and then you have the top, it's split at the top like a Y, and then boom, you can hold the vine up on these mefutzal. The Tosis of Weber learns that the word mechulak means that they're nice and smooth, from the word chalak, in Eretz Yisrael, when they want to talk about glat kosher, they don't say glat, they go and say, it's chalak, basar chalak, am I right, Reb Shlomo? Chalak, it's smooth. The reason why they call it chalak, that it's smooth, is because it means that there are no sirchis in the lungs. Because if there's a sirch in the lung, that piece sticks out, and then the lung is not nice and smooth. It has like little tails protruding from it. Anyway, so therefore, Kanam Chalakim says the third toises, it means that they removed all of the bark, so that it is now very, very nice and smooth. So the word mechulak means it's smooth. Anyway, so the question is, what's the need for these konim? Konim mechulak, shemamin and tachas and kfanim. Either that they're split at the top, or that the bark has been removed, and these are now excellent to use to hold up the trestles, to hold up the vines in the kerem. And again, the Gemara says, according to a mayor that says kerem includes all tashmishia kerem, the meshapion afagavdoloi mukman, as long as they've already been smoothed out nicely, even if they're not standing in place. In other words, they're still lying on the ground, and they have not been used to prop up the vines yet. In other words, it's either new kerem, or this year's vines are not ready yet, whatever it is, and you have a whole bunch, a whole package of these reeds lying on the ground, but they're ready. I mean, as soon as we're ready to say, okay, we need them for the vines, Shnell, put it into the ground. Abgavli mukman, even if they're not in the ground yet. Rabbanu the mukman, Rabbanu say they're only included if they're ready, standing in the ground, ready for the vines to be hung on them. And then the Mishnah continues on. You know what else is included? Tvua mechuberes lekarka, tvua that is still attached to the ground. Zokti morv avagav the matoy lemechted. Even if we're ready to be kotzer, in other words, the next day the workers are going to be called in to start harvesting and start cutting all of the tvuas, even though it's already ready to be cut. Says Rishbam, Solka daita chamina would say, kolo oimid liktsor, ki kotsur domi, anything which is ready for harvest, it's as if it's already harvested, so then it's already tolush from the karka, and therefore maybe it should not be included in the mechira. Kamashmula, no, as long as it's still attached to the ground, it's included in the word sada automatically. And then it's in the Mishnah Vayta, v'eschitzes akonim shebchusim mebeis roiva. If you have these chitzes akonim, a bunch of reeds, one next to each other, all growing out of the same stalk, as long as it's less than a beis roiva hakav area, they're included. What's the chiddush? even if they happen to be thick and strong, I might think, oh, this is not your regular normal reed. This is a starker reed. That being the case, maybe it should not be included. Kamash Mulan, it's included. That's a shemera she'ena asuya betit, the shemera which is not attached with tit. Even if it's not kavua in the ara, comes to tell you, I might think, since it's not kavua ba'ara, this is the type of thing that you can pick up and move to the next property. Therefore, maybe it should not be included. Kamashal in the Mishnah, doesn't make a difference. The guardhouse, even if it's real metalkalin, that it's not attached to the ground, you can pick it up. It's, you know, like a sukkah, that you can go, after sukkah is over, we take the sukkah apart, and you dismantle it, and you put it away. So I would think the same thing with Gabi de Shemera. Says, no, the Shemera is included in the sale. These are the young carob boxer tree, or the young sycamore trees. Says, what's the chiddush? Abagab dalimi, even if they're thicker and stronger than their age, usually if the boxer tree or the sycamore tree, let's say in their first year of growth, they are pretty flimsy, so no groisa chiddush that they're included. No, even if these happen to be unnaturally stark, strong and stable, also included in the sale. And now we go back to the Meir and the Rabbanon, and we go back to the two pshatim of the Avna the Achpa, or the Avonim Asturis Legeder. So remember, by the Avna the Achpa, we said, when are the Avonim included? So the Gemara said at the top of the Amud, on the fifth line, to Mesaknon Alpha Gavduloi Machton, as long as they are prepared. Even if they're not sitting in the property, they are included. When are avonim she'en l'tzarcha? When are they not included? Remedli mesachna. If you haven't even prepared them yet. Yes, you have a whole bunch of stones, but you can tell from the stones that they're all kind of haphazard sitting around. They have not at all been set aside and designated for these purposes for acting as the paperweights. The rabbanon l'masan. The Rabbanim that said that the Avonim which are included are those which are Machtan. Machtan means that they are sitting on the property. You know, which ones are not included? Those stones which are not sitting on the property. Even though he has them in the shed and he intends using them, if they're not on the property, not included. Ululidom Avonim Asturas, the Geder, that we're talking about stones that are going to be used for a Geder, for a fence. L'Rameyadolim Asachnan. Again, what was the pshat at the top of the Amid? What did the mayor hold is included? You remember right before the two dots? Let a mayor do masachnan afagav deloy sidran, as long as they're prepared for that purpose. Says our Gemara, when are they not included? Deloy masachnan, that they're not prepared for that purpose. Well, according to Rabbanon, since the Rabbanon said at top, when are they included? When they're masudr, sidran, one on top of the other, nicely in piles, five on top of the other, like a migdol, the whole geshaft, then they are included. But if they're just mefuzar umefoyrod beino amim, they're just strewn around and they're not mesud in one place, they are not included. Those kodim which are not litzarech. And once again, we go back to the previous machlaikis. Remeir said, when are the kodim included? When the kodim hamichulokim, avagav, Remeir de meshapion, avagav dole mukman, as long as they are nicely, mishapian means, literally means planed. You use a plane to go and smooth it out to make it nice and pretty and all the rest. So as long as it's planed, even if it's not standing. Here says the mother, that it's not even planed. In other words, you see a whole bunch of reeds sitting there on the field, but they're not ready yet for these purposes. No, they're there and they're all fine and they're nice and everybody can tell that these are going to be nice rods which are going to hold up the trestle, the vines. Toloi Mukman is talking about that they're not set into the ground yet and therefore they are not included. If Tvua is already cut and it's lying on the field, it's not included. Says the Gemara, the Chiddush is Rav Agav Tzricha Ve'ara. They still need the ground. Now, why would they need the ground? After all, they're already cut. Don't you want to take them as quickly as possible to the granary and to go and do your winnowing and then your grinding and your crushing and all the rest, threshing? Says Rishbam is talking about that there are freshly cut, they're nice and moist, and you want to leave them on the ground so that, number one, they should air out somewhat, and number two, says Rishbam, to dry out, because it's very difficult to go and thresh and grind moist wheat or moist grain. What you got to do is you have to wait until they dry out. Oh, so this tvua needs this property. So kedai techamin, it should be sold with the property. Kamash v'lon, no, it is separate and not sold with the property. V'lo yachitz zakonim shiu beis roiva. If you have a chitz zakonim which occupy at least a mokum of roiva hakav, then it is not included. That's considered to be a dover choshev. Says the Gemara, the chiddush of avgav dektini. Even though when you look at these konim, they look like they're weaklings. They look like they are very, very miniature, gunish. However, if they occupy a base roiva kav, it is a soda bifnei atzmoi, not included. So the B'chir Barab and Nima, Rabbi Yochanan, I can give you another example of something which is a dover choshuv, like if you have an aruga ketana shel psamim, and shel psamim is lav davka. It just means that this is set aside a special patch. An aruga is a furrow, is a row inside a field. You have one row which has been set aside lemoshel for psamim or anything else special. V'yesh l'shem b'fnei atzma, and people look at it and say, oh, this is separate, this has a special Shem. We'll give an example in a moment. Since it's so choshev that people give it a separate name, not included. So Omra Papa, says Rishbam, Rapapa is coming to the Mefarish. What did Rabbi Yochanan mean when he says, V'yesh l'shem b'fnei atzma? V'hu dekaru lo bar de deplanya. Oh, you see that beautiful row of roses? You go to the rose and you smell it. Oh, wow. You have to make a bracha. Isvei psamim, atzei psamim. You have to make a bracha on those roses because they smell delicious. They're really great. It doesn't get a chashivus b'fnei atzmoi unless people say, oh, those are the roses of Yankel, Yankel's roses. When they sell them Erev Shabbos for people that buy flowers for Shabbos, they have a special sign, Yankel's roses for sale. Oh, Yankel's roses. Ooh. So therefore, it has a special chashivus, a shem b'fnei atzma, and therefore, einam nemkeres ima, they're not included in the sale of the field. Next, v'lo shemera asuya betit. The shemera, again, this is the guardhouse, which is asuya betit. This is already attached to the grid. This is already a choshiva shemera. Says the Gemara, it is not bottled to the karka. Even though it is mechuber lekarka, it is not only standing on the ground, but it is mechuber to the ground. So sokadai techmina, oh, mechuber, to be like a soda. No. The fact that it's mechuber gives it a shem b'fnei atzmoi, not sold with the land. Okay, skip the parentheses. Boy, Reblozer. Now, Rabbi Elazar is going to focus on three groups of something known as malbenois. What exactly are malbenois? We're going to have malbenois shel psochim, malbenois shel chaloinois, and malbenois shel mita. And as you'll see, although they're the same word, however, they have a different meaning in each case. It's boy Rabbi Elazar, malbenois shel psochim mahu. What happens if you have malbenois? Malbenois shel psochim means that they are used to frame a doorway. In other words, you could have a doorway which is just a door attached to the wall without a special frame to it. Here, however, we made malbenois is the frame in which you attach your delis. Frame in the sense that it has a lintel, it has a threshold, it has mezuzois, it has doorposts on all sides. Oh, so that type of frame on its own. Is that considered to be part of the house, if you're selling a house, or is it considered to be independent? Mara, Izukti Mara, welcome aboard, Brother Shai. You'll be happy to know there was a minion, and that Barry was Mashlam the minion, he was number 10, Asir Yiyah Kodesh. Continuing the Mara, what's it in? Hey, Yitham Chabri Betina, if you're talking about that the frame is attached to the wall and to the doorposts and all the rest, it's attached Betina with a cement. It's mechuber to the bias. Just like a person is selling a bias, he sells the walls of the bias. And we learned in the previous Mishnah, the delis of the bias. So the door frame, of course, is also included. The question is, what happens if the door frame is not cemented in, but it's only put in with the benefit of pegs? Today we might say with nails or with screws, but it's not, maybe that's, that itself would be a little bit mechuber. Pegs, of course, you can easily pull out the pegs, and then the whole frame you can remove. So the shaila is, if it's on pegs, is that also included in the sale or not? My take. What about malbenei shechaloinois? And Rishbam says, we are continuing from the earlier case. We're talking about this. This is again a frame around a window. Now remember, windows in the times of Chazal are not like windows that we have today, which are full of glass. Usually chaloinis just meant a hole in the wall. And whenever they wanted to close up the window, they put in shutters and they close up the window. When you wanted air or you wanted light, you opened up the shutters and then you had all the air coming in with all the bugs and whatever comes in if you don't have screens. Anyway, here it was a window that had frames around it. Whew. So now, says Rishbam, again we're talking about the sichi. If you were to go and paskin legabe the case of the doorway, that it has sichi, that it is included in the bias, when you sold the bias. See, if you look at the Rishbam, 5 lines from the bottom. Boy Reb Zeira, says Rishbam. Boy Reb Zeira, 5 lines. If you're going to go and tell me that a door frame is included, even though it's only pegs and it's not cemented in, obviously the purpose of that door frame is to strengthen the door so that it shouldn't easily fall down and it shouldn't easily be able to be broken into by ganovim or gazlonim, etc. If you're talking about a malbin shechalon, is that frame around the window, that's not meant for chizuk. That's meant linoya vidan, to make it more fashionable, more pretty, ornamental. V'loy mizdavni, maybe it's not included. Or maybe, if it's mechavre besichi, it is included. So back to the Gemara. Talk to the Gemara, the malbin shechalon, which are connected, again, the frame, with such pegs. The whole purpose of these frames doesn't help anything because there are no window panes. It's just to make it nice and pretty and, you know, so people say, oh, wow, did such a great job. It's really so nice, the molding and da da da. So it's therefore it's not sold with the house because you can have a house without these malbenishachalaynits. It's attached to the house, whether you like it or not. It's not cemented in, but it's at least pegged in, so it's mechubel karkas, and therefore maybe it is included. Again, take third case. Now these malbenois of the third case have the same name, but they really have a totally different function. Boy, Rabbi Yirmiyah, malbenois shel kroy hamita mal. Now, what a malbenois shel kroy hamita? Kroy hamita means the legs of the bed. Now, picture yourself 500 years ago when they didn't have carpets on the floor, or they didn't have linoleum, or whatever fancy, dance, fancy, delancy, new types of flooring that we have today. Years ago, people had dirt floors. Since they had dirt floors, the wood of the kroy hamita, of the legs of the bed, if they're standing in the wood, could easily rot. And so therefore, to give it more permanence, what they would do is, they would add underneath it like a brick made out of wood, and that brick made out of wood, that would be the base for each of these legs, so that if there's any rotting, the rotting would occur to these malbenois, as opposed to the kroy hamita. And these malbenois, which were the base, the foundation of the legs, were removable. And therefore, presumably every year, every 5 years, if you found that those malbenois started rotting or started going bad, you'd throw them away and you'd bring new malbenois. In other words, but the bed would remain intact. So you look at the Rishbam, 3 lines from the bottom. Rishbam, malbenois shel kroy hamita, chatichos eitz. These were like chunks of wood. Hayinoisen tachas kroy hamita, they would put it under the mita legs. Kedei shel yirkav b'karka, so they shouldn't rot in the ground, in the dirt. There by psachim and chaloinis, if you were to be poishit, remember we said teiku, but if we were to be poishit, that they are included, the frames of the door frames and the window frames, hanamish and the chabri, miya besichet, those are connected with these pegs. Aval hocha, bidloi mechabri lamita kalal. Here we're talking about that the malbenis have not been attached yet, or that they were removed, and now at the moment they are not attached to the mita. If a person sells a mita, are they sold with the mita or not? Because you could live with a mita with legs without these malbenis. The malbenis are nice, are protective, but you can easily live without them. So the question is, if they have been detached, are they included, yes or no? So back to the Gemara, Boy Rabbi Yirmiyah, three lines at the bottom, malbenis shall kray ha-mita mal. Kolech le-metalti ba'ad doli t'boyulach. If they are connected to the Kroya Mita, how they connected, Ishbam says, with nails or with pegs, but they are connected. If you go into a bed store and you see that the beds have on the bottom of the Kroya Mita these malbanois attached, how much is the bed? $100? Here's $100. And of course you get the whole Mita, including the malbanois. What happens if they have not been attached, or they were attached and they were detached, and I'm buying the mita? Can I say, well, come on, everybody has malbanis underneath the kroya mita, so it must be that this is part of the transaction, part of the sale. Or do you say, no, since it's detachable, every little thing you have to go and pay separately? Is ma'idu timore teiku tishbi atar? So all these three shaylas of malbanis are iboyed lep ifshitam. Back to the Mishnah. We learn the Chorav Amorkav leisad nashikma v'chuli. That the Chorav Amorkav means an older boxer tree or an older sycamore tree. These are so choshed they are not salt. Frank Timor Menon Emili. Where do we take this from? Amar Yudam Rav. The Amakrot says in the pasuk Yaakov stay Ephraim Hashem b'machpela. So what do we see from this pasuk? So if you have the Torah Ora Sholeng, it gives you a better understanding of this Gemara. Rishbam explains that Avraham Avinu said, I'd like to go and buy a field, and the field that he wants to buy is for the purpose of a burial plot for his wife. And then it says that even though Avraham Avinu said, Nasati kesef hasode kach mimeni, here's the money I'm ready to pay you for this sode, for this field, Ephraim included in the field, yes, he charged an arm and a leg, but what was included in the field? So let's look at Aleph of the Torah or Hashalem. For Yaakov stay Ephraim Hashem Machpela Hashem Lefnei Mamre Hasodeh. It was not only a field. Vamaora Asher Boy, the cave inside it. For Chol Eitz Hashem Basodeh, and all the trees which were in that field. Asher Bechol Gevuloi Saviv, which were within the Gvul, within the boundaries of this Sodeh. So the sod included a whole bunch of trees as well. So what does it have to do with us? Zokti Yomar, Amravino Maravdi Yomakra, V'yakum Se'efer Hasheba Machpela, Mi Shetzorach Legvul Saviv. Why did the Pasuk have to go and add on Hasheba Chagvuloi Saviv? Why did the Pasuk just simply say, V'yakum Se'efroin, the sodah, V'ma'or Hasher Boi, V'chol Eitz Hasher Basodah, and all the Eitzim in the sodah? Why do we have to add the magic words, Asher b'chol gvuloi saviv? Zokti Yomara, Mi shetzorach legvul saviv. The types of trees which are standard, ordinary trees, where you could theoretically have a dispute between two neighbors as to whether the tree is my tree or the tree is your tree, because they happen to be close to the end of the border of the field. So I say, no, that's my tree. No, it's within my border, it's your tree. And therefore, you have to have a gvul saviv, some sort of markers, a line of demarcation showing where Yankel's property begins and where Beryl's property ends. So Zokti Gemara, the reason why the Pasuk says, b'chol ha'etz asher basod asher b'chol gvuloi saviv, which etzim are included, those that we know for sure belong to Ephraim, because there was a gvul around it. You saw where the border was, and therefore you know that the Ma'oris HaMachpelah and the Sada ended at that point. all of the Ilonois until that point were included. What does the Pasuk tell you with these extra words? It comes to exclude those trees which are so choshuv because of they are big and mighty that everybody refers to them almost as a separate entity. You see that sycamore tree? That's Ephraim's sycamore tree. Or that's Yankel's Chorav HaShikma. That happens to be his, not Chorav HaShikma. What's the Losh? Chorav HaMurkiv. That's the old Buxa tree. Those are so recognizable and discernible that people refer to them with a special name. I said, Dr. Yomara, that's how I know that these two are not included. The only things which eights are included, those which you need a Gvul Saviv to identify for sure that these trees belong to this property and not to the next door neighbor. Yotze Elu, these two trees, the Chorav HaMorkib and the Sadna Shikma, because they are so outstanding, you can think in your minds maybe like the Sequoia trees in California. Very, very, very choshev, everybody knows, blah, blah, blah. You don't need a gvul to identify them that they belong to Yankel, Beryl, or Shmerel. Everybody knows that that's a Yankel's trees. He planted them 25 years ago. Of course, these are huge trees that last for a long time. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, so that's how we know those two. Now, the last word is soviv. In other words, the pasuk could have ended off chal eitzah shebesodah shebechal gvulai. What is it? Soviv comes to tell you, Omer Misharshi, Mikan, Limitzorim min ha-toyre. Comes to tell you that borders around fields are included in the field. When you go and sell a soda, so automatically the border that is around the soda, the boundary, is also included in the sale. How do I know? From the word soviv, that's what Ephraim gave to Avraham Avinu. And it's not only the border. If there are any trees growing on the border, they're all included. That's part of the suf. Okay, Zoki Mariet. Om Rav Yehuda. Hayman de Mizben Ar Lechavrei. A person who's selling a piece of property to his chaver. Torach Lemichtav Leh. And on the property were Dekolim. Dekolim are palm trees. For those of you who've ever been in Miami, you all know a palm tree is nice and big and tall. And you take, you can get lulavim from those palm trees as well as dates. Anyway, so voshtei tachto, a person is buying these palm trees, he should write in the sheet, he's buying a piece of land which has in it palm trees. Tzorech lemachtav leh, he should write in the document, kni loch, I'm selling to you, diklin, talin, hutzim etzitzin. Now what are all these? Rishbam says these are all dekel trees. The dikli means that they are, if you look on the third of the wide lines of Rishbam, third line, Dikli, Shigodlu Kol Tzarch, and these are full-fledged, real palm trees, like a Miami, 30, 40, 50 feet tall. Talin, says Rishbam, are Shesilin Nitoim Bachurim. These are young saplings. You just planted these new palm trees, they're only 6 months old. And then you have Hutzim Etzitzin. Rishbam says, come, hang me to call them. What's other types of the column, big or small, whatever. So that's what you should write in your document to make sure you get all of these trees. Zokti Gemara, the Avagav, the Kchi, Loikos of Lei, Hochi, Ulzakani. The Gemara's Lashon is interesting, because the Gemara starts off, Omer of Yehuda, you want to buy a piece of property that has the column, Tzorech L'michtav Lei, better write these magic words. Says the Gemara, the Avagav, the Kchi, Loikos of Lei, Hochi, Kani. Even if you didn't write these words, all of these trees are included, because after all, none of these trees are a Chorav HaMurkif or a Sadn HaShikma, so they're all included. It's a nice improvement on the shtar. Now, if you don't need to write it, what's the improvement? Normally we say you get a Yipui Koyach when you write in things that you don't need. But what's the improvement, the shufar, the shtar. So Rishbam says, we're talking about a Bezdin who unfortunately, my father's Chana Vrucha would say, not major league rabbis, these were minor league rabbis. And as a result, a Bezdin Detoyin, if they saw a shtar that said in it, I'm selling you this field, and the field contained a bunch of Dekolim, these Bezdin Detoyin might say, well, the Dekolim are not included. because after all, this is a field. And the trees that are there, those are separate. They're not part of the package. And that's why I write it in, so you won't have any problems later on if anybody questions whether the kolam are included. Hey, shteitach b'feirish. It's there explicitly. What happens? Okay, so now you have l'shoynis that the Gemara are going to say are similar, but you have to be medayik in every word. Omle, what happens if he wrote in the shtar, I'm selling you aravidikli. Notice it doesn't say aravidikli with a base, aravidikli with a vav. So therefore, says Rishbam, he's really selling two separate items. Number one, an ara, a field. And besides that, he's selling him also two dekalim. It's chazinin, iyas le dikli, yoiv le tre dikli. If this person owns the kolam other than on this ara, in other words, the ara that he sold him has whatever it has. The kolam, gifanim, ilni, dikli, whatever it has is included. Except, of course, for the sadna shikma and the chorav amorkiv. But since he says ara vidikli, he has to add to that ara at least two more the kolam. So he is le dikli, if in fact he has the kolam on a separate piece of property, Yov le tredikli, he has to give him two, because miyat rabim shnai. The ilesle, what happens if he doesn't own anything other than this land? He doesn't, he said, but I'm going to sell you dikli. Then you know what you got to do? Zovin le tredikli. This moicher that wrote in the shtar, I'm selling you land plus dikli, buy two dikli to be able to go and close the transaction. The Meshabdi, what happens if he has a bunch of Dikli, but all of these Dikolim are already Meshubid, they have liens on them for a Choiv, Parakle Trey Dikli, then he's going to have to redeem two of them, in other words, pay off the Malve, and say that these two are not part of the Shibud, of the encumbrance of the liens, so that he can sell them freely to the person to whom he's selling Arav Dikli. Now that's it. He said vidikli. Vidikli means that the dekolim are an addition to the ara. What happens if you wrote ara bidikli with a base? So that already means that on this ara there are dikli. That's what he meant, ara bidikli. It is not just a flat, open lot. It is a piece of land that has on it some trees. Chazina, then we see. He is bidikli if in fact this ara that he's selling him has dikli, then good, then you're willing. That's what he sold. The Bach changes the gears somewhat, and he says, then zvina is zvini. Then the sale is a good sale, because that's what he said. I'm selling you this land together with the kolam, and the good news is that the land has the kolam, so it's sold. The lav, however, if we come to the land and we find that there's not one dekel there, or at least there's not two dekolam there, mekach tois, so the whole thing is a mekach tois, because the percher can say, I didn't want just a piece of land. I wanted land that had on it palm trees. This way I won't have to go and worry about getting a good lulav when it comes to sukkahs. I won't have to get lulav dairy or whatever the name of these expensive lulav mar. And I'll also have a source of income. I'll have dates. I'm a chayim. Especially if a person lives on the west side and he's single. He has dates all the time. It's a gevaldik. Anyway, so the point of all this is that if the ara has dikli is great. If it's an ara beloy dikli, it's a mekach tois, and the sale is off. Now, what happens if ara bey dikli, lesley dikli? Oh, next. Until now we had ara vidikli, and we had ara bidikli. Now we have ara bey dikli. What does that mean? Says the Gemara, lesley dikli. The fact that he wrote bey dikli makes no difference if there are dikolim on the property. Or if there's no dekolim on the property, the word bay means the chaz yeladikli. It means that this land is land which is fertile and which is suitable for the growth of dikli. Obviously, you cannot go and grow anything and everything in all climates. It's got to be the type of property which is suitable and susceptible for the growth of dikli. And if so, then it's sold. Even if there are no dikli on the property, because the chaz of the dikli ka'amalei. The word bay dikli means that it's ro'i to go and plant dikli. Amalei, what happens if he said now, lebar mi dikla planya? I'm selling you this property, but except for this particular dekel. Chazinim, idikla tovahu, If it's taka a good dekel tree that a person would want to keep for himself, shiuri shaira, then he taka set it aside for himself, and it is not sold. Idik lebishahu, if it happens to be a shvacha dekel, it's nothing out of the ordinary, it's nothing special. Kolshkin anach, then certainly anyone that happens to be better than this dekel is sold. Madach, he set it aside for himself. Why would anybody want to have this dekel bisha? If he kept the dekel bisha, and from that and higher and better, says Rishbam, but anything less than that would be included in the sale. He's only setting aside for himself a shvacha, this particular shvacha dekel, and anything which is better. Now, Omale, what happens if you write in the shtar, lebar me ilni, I'm selling you this karka, but I'm leaving over for myself ilni. Zoktimar, iyesle ilni, if in fact there are ilonis on the property, lebar me ilni, those he kept for himself. Rishbam says, even though the Gemara says he kept them for himself, we're only talking about choshev ilni. If the ilni are ktanim hein harbe, if they're very, very flimsy, brand new saplings, those are included, even if he says labar mi ilni. Ilni, by definition, means an established tree. So, again, if he said labar mi ilni, isli ilni, if there are established trees, labar mi ilni, those he keeps for himself. What happens if he doesn't have ilni in the property? He only has dikli. He isle dikli. Now remember, ilni are regular trees, while dikli are palm trees. So Rishbam tells us that the word trees usually was used generically for all types of trees, whether they were barren trees, or apple trees, or orange trees, or date trees, or fig trees. The word ilni was a generic term. Typically, however, it did not include dikli, which are the palm trees that we spoke of, and it didn't include gufni. Gufni means a kerem, which means grapevines in a vineyard. Aha. So what happens if he said in the document, I sell you this particular land, but I leave the ilni for myself? So if there are ilni, so he kept the ilni for himself. What happens if there are no ilni? They're only dikli. So then, even though normally dikli are not referred to as trees generically, but have no choice. These are the only trees, the balm trees. See, Iyeslay Dikli, the balmy Dikli, then Dikli are excluded. He kept those for himself. What happens if there are no Ilni or Dikli? They're only Gufni. It's a vineyard with a lot of Kifanim. Iyeslay Gufni, then the balmy Gufni. Then when he said Chutzmi Ilni, he meant Gufni. Now what happens if they're both Ilni and Gufni on the same property? Okay. So labar mi ilni, if he writes in the shtar, I'm keeping for myself the ilni, then he keeps the ilni for himself. The gufni are included in the property, and he just set aside for himself ilni, because after all, they're both gufni and ilni. You have both on this property, gufni, vines of a vineyard, and you have ilni, and you have apple trees. So he kept the apple trees. What happens if the ilni vidikli on the property? And he said, Labar mi ilni. So what happens then? Once again, he kept the ilni for himself, but the dikli are included, because he said, Labar mi ilni. What happens if there are no ilni? They're only gufni vidikli. And he said, Bar mi ilni. Oh, now we say Labar mi gufni. Says Rishbam, because gufni are more of a subset of ilni than dikli. Dikli are so choshev by their height, like you have in Miami Beach, these big, beautiful palm trees. So when you say ilni, of the two, gufni and dikli, gufni is more likely to be what he had in mind when he said labar me ilni. Omarav, kosh ein le bechevel havishir, kosh ein le bechevel le havishir. When do we say that he said chutz me ilni, that he kept it for himself? It really depends on whether there's a chosh of a tree. If it's a chosh of a tree that the only way to get to the top of the tree is to be oile bechevel, you have to go and take a rope to get to the top. If you ever go to, again, to Miami, you see these palm trees. They're huge. They're very, very, very tall. So how do you get to the top to go and be able to take off the lulavim or to take off the dates? You have to be oile bechevel. The tallest ladder doesn't get you to the top. You have to get to the chevel. Oh, so kol she'ein le bechevel havishir. So when he said the bar made dikli, that he kept for himself those that you need a chevel to get to the top. If it's a short tree that you can, you know, you just go up the step ladder and you can get to the top, then that is not a shear, that he did not set that for himself. It's included in the sech. That was Rav. But the Yonah Goyla Ami, the Yonah Goyla says Rav Ami Shmuel Vakarna. What did they say? Kosha oil kovshoy le have a shear. Kosha ena oil kovshoy have a shear. What does that mean, kosha oil kovshoy? The word oil we know always means a yoke. But here a yoke here has a broader connotation. And it means any time that you are sending in an ox or a pair of oxen to plow in this property, and the oxen come across a tree. If the tree happens to be so flimsy that it's like a sapling, that the oxen and the plows just go straight into the tree, and they're koifek the tree, they're koivish the tree, that cause the tree to bend over, and the oxen go further, then it has no chashivos, and therefore it is included in the property. However, kosher oil, kosher ein oil koifshay, when the oxen come to that tree and they try to push the tree pushes back and says, oxen, not over my dead body, move. And they have to taka go around the tree. Oh, that's a dover choshev. And he said, chutz mi'ilni, have a shear, he kept it for himself. So therefore, there seem to be two different measures over here. Rav's measure is, if the tree is so big that you have to bring a chevel to climb up to the top, that happens to be a shear that he kept for himself. Well, Karna and Shmuel say, no, the shear is whether it's so strong and stable that the oxen and the plows can just run over it, gunish. So is there a machlokes? Well, I believe no machlokes. Habedikli, habeilni. If you're talking about dikli, these tall palm trees, then how do you measure sturdiness and chashivus, whether or not you have to, you need a rope to get to the top of it? If you need such a rope, and he said, chutz mi dikli, those the column he kept for himself. The small little dicklies that you can just go up on a step stool to get to the top, those are not part of the shear, and therefore they're included in the sale. While any other tree, says Rishbam, you never need a chevel to get to the top, because you know how do you climb to the top of the tree? You climb the tree. You climb the tree because every tree typically has a whole bunch of branches. So I'm sure when you were younger, maybe some of you even at an older age, you climb up trees, you put one foot on one branch, another foot on another branch, and you get to the top. So you don't need the chevel to get to the top. So what is the standard? How do you discern? How do you distinguish between those ilni which are included and which are not included? Those which are so flimsy that the old koivshoy, that the oxen and the plows just run over it. Those are part of the sail. Those which are so strong that the plows cannot just run over it, those are the shear, when he said, Labar mi'ilni, those he kept for himself. So, we stop over here. Rabbi Yisrael, Mitzvah, beginning tomorrow. Remember, tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh.